Live in our hearts, fill this body, stir our spirits, help us serve. Walk with our feet to the hurting. Let us be you, revive your church. Let us be you on this earth.
Is great. I got to tell you, first of all, those of you who came in a little late, I want to clear up some confusion. I am not Jason Darden. So if you are wondering, now you know. But Jason Darden happens to be a very good friend of mine. In fact, Jason and I went to Harding, and probably the only friend I have that I can say I've known for 15 years, or almost 15 years, a long time. When I first met Jason, he's streaming this live, by the way, he told me, so, how are you, sir? Jason was leading singing in chapel at Harding University, and I remember everybody in our section, the first thing we thought was, there's a new professor here. He had a three-piece suit on, he had a mustache. Jason really hasn't changed a lot in 15 years as far as the way that he looks. His hairline, when I met him, was here, now it's kind of somewhere back here, but he's about the same. We have been through a lot of things together. He was my roommate. I got to see him grow in many different ways, and God has used each other in each other's lives a lot. And if I had a chance, and if it was a different forum, I'd just spend the whole time telling you stories about Jason, because there's a lot of them. But one thing I could say with utmost certainty is that you are blessed to have him here as your minister. And I know that it's kind of still a new experience, and he hasn't been here for a long time, but God works through him. And I think God is going to be working through all of you and working in this community. So I was very excited when I heard that he was going to be up here. There are a couple stories, though, I do want to tell about Jason because I want to be able to qualify the statement that I just made about him before we get into our somewhat brief lesson this morning. I want to show you a picture. This is Jason and I. Yes, that's me. I know I said Jason's hairline has changed. He would probably say the same thing about my waistline. Marcella Church of Christ is one of the churches that I preached at when I was a student at Harding. There was a gentleman by the name of Mac Lyon, and he would put out a book every 4 or 5 years called Churches of Christ in the United States. And in the book, there was every address of every Church of Christ in the United States. So we're in Arkansas. I sat down and I wrote a letter to every single one as a freshman at Harding saying, "Hi, my name is Josh Davidson. I like to talk about God and I love Jesus. If your preacher's not in, write me back and tell me and I'll come up and I'll speak to your congregation." This was 1999. I don't know why I was writing letters. I mean, there was email, but they would send me letters back. And Marcella Church of Christ is one of the places I got a letter back from. Very old schoolhouse. There were 8 ladies at the church and 1 man. The man refused to sing, refused to lead any prayers. He was just there. So in the letter, they laid out very plainly, you're going to have to do everything when you come out here. And so I went out for one Sunday, and then I said, I know this great guy. His name is Jason Darden. So he started preaching out there. Then Jason and I started working at this church across the train tracks called Eastside Church of Christ in Searcy, Arkansas, Kinzett, Arkansas, actually. And there is where I saw Jason become a servant. It's one thing to stand up here and talk and say some things. It's another thing when nobody's watching to serve God, to be in the community, to be showing that you're actually practicing what you're preaching. Now, Jason, when I met him, he was 18 years old. He just got out of basic training. He was a hardened young man. I mean, he was really a tough guy. But there's something about those little old ladies that just melts his heart. He will do anything. So one day he calls me on the phone. He says, I'm at Walmart right now. Okay, what are you doing? Pick me up some ribs or something. What are you doing there? Well, I got to get kitty litter. A lady from the church needed kitty litter. She called him because she knew that he would do it. I preach at the same church. We were co-preaching together. These people never called me. They called Jason all of the time because they knew the heart that he had. They knew the person he was becoming. And so it's through stories like that and instances like that that really warm my heart when I think about how far Jason has come and the kind of servant and the kind of minister that he is. We played a lot of pranks on each other, and that's the other story I want to tell you about. Jason and I played a lot of pranks. We were roommates at Harding for a couple years. But we were friends the entire time. But there was one time in particular, I got a letter from a church writing back to me from one of my many letters saying, come on up. They're in Alpena, Arkansas. It's a congregation of 125, which is very large for that area. You have to go through Harrison, Arkansas to get there. Harrison, Arkansas is a little bit different. Harrison, Arkansas has some wonderful people, and the congregation, Alpena Church of Christ, was an amazing congregation. I went up there three or four times, and one Sunday they called and asked, left a message on my machine, can you come up? And I couldn't go. Well, you can feel free to send, I call them back, you feel free to send anybody you want. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about the history, very briefly, of Harrison, Arkansas. It's not a good one. Harrison, Arkansas, in the year 1905, 1908, there was actually a time where they drove out every African-American citizen in the city. Drove them out. Said, you can't live here anymore. The Ku Klux Klan, current address, Harrison, Arkansas. Now, I play a lot of pranks on Jason Darden. But this is different. This was different. Something about it, and I know a lot of people say this, and people say, God spoke to me, and I'm not one to question anyone, but I tell you, God spoke to me when I listened to that message, and they said, send anybody you want. He was the first person that came into my mind. So he asked me, well, tell me about the people. What's the church like? And I said, well, white. Well, what's the town like? Like, what's the area like? Jason Darden, the only book he ever has his nose buried in constantly is the Bible. He doesn't bury his nose in many other books, and that's probably good for you. Good news. He didn't know anything about the history there. I said, well, I think it's going to be great. I think God's going to bless it. I think you should go. So they put him in a hotel. You have to go overnight. It's all the way up near Missouri. He went up, and I never heard from them again. I heard from him, thank goodness. But I never heard from them again because they decided to deal with him directly from then on. They loved him. He had God's backing. And there's something about that that just makes me very proud. So, having said all of that, I just wanted to say again, you've got a servant here with you, so use him. He's ready to work, and I'm excited to see the work that God's going to be doing here in your congregation. Okay, so I want to talk to you about this morning, learning to listen. I like to talk about things that I have problems with because I fail at things all the time, so I'm more of an expert in them because I've made most of the mistakes you can make. And listening is certainly a problem for me. Listening is a little bit different from the definition of hearing, so I want to qualify that first, too. When you hear something, we define that as being capable of perceiving sound. You can hear me right now. But when you listen, we define that as giving attention with the ear. Another definition of listening is actually obey, to obey. These are very different words, but also can be complicated sometimes for one another. And I want to talk to you about listening, about how we as Christians, when we listen, become better Christians, become better wives, become better husbands, become better spouses, become better parents. But we have to actually listen, not just hear. So I want to lay ground rules. Learning to listen, a lifelong struggle. The first rule of listening is found in Proverbs 18, verse 13. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. This is very important. Have you ever had somebody, you're starting to talk to them, and they just kind of cut you off? And you wonder if they're even listening? You got to let people finish if we're going to really be listeners, if we're really going to listen. So, having said that, the first rule of listening, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the problems that I have with listening and confess to you that I don't always listen to my wife. My wife is here with my mother from East Texas. My wife has some great stories. She has a theater background, so when she tells the stories, she wants you there with her. She's very descriptive. She goes on. I mean, it could be about going and buying Greek yogurt at the grocery store. She's very descriptive about that. And then I grabbed it, and I saw the expiration date was different. And then I grabbed the next one, and she goes on and on. Very descriptive. Well, in the middle of all of these, all of this description, sometimes I tune out. And all of you husbands here who are raising your eyebrow, don't judge me because you do it too. Sometimes I might tune out, but I do a thing, and she's not an idiot. I do a thing, so then she asks two questions. First question is, are you listening to me? And that's okay because I have an answer for that question. Absolutely. The second question is a little more difficult. Well, then what did I just say? Right? I don't always have an answer for that one. Listening and hearing. We have to listen to one another. We have to listen to the Lord, and that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your outlines, take those out. We're going to start answering some of these questions now that we've got our ground rules. And I want to talk to you about a story in the Bible that we talk about a lot, actually, mostly in Vacation Bible School. That's usually our forum for it, if you will. I love these artist depictions, by the way. You see here, most of these are either one way or the other. They're gently dropping Jonah over the boat, or they're tossing him and he's going very high. When I was in Vacation Bible School, there was an artist depiction of Jonah, and everybody had a smiley face on. It's just very random. But this is the image, other than the image of being swallowed by the large fish. This is it, right? This is the one that we think of. Jonah being tossed over over the boat. But there are some other things that happened first, some other things that went into motion before we got to this point. There were some things that happened before he even got on the boat. So we know the story of Jonah, God telling Jonah, hey, listen, you're going to go to Nineveh. You're going to talk to these people, and yes, we all know that these are bad people, but I still want you to go there, right? It was almost like it was his Harrison in Arkansas. Same thing. Go over there. Talk to these people. I know they will be receptive. So we get to the point where Jonah is about to be thrown off the boat. And he gets on the boat, going away, by the way, from Nineveh, not towards Nineveh. He decides to run from God. So he gets on the boat, and he's actually sleeping, and things are going back and forth, back and forth. And people run down to say, hey, come on up here, Jonah. You need to pray to your God. We're all praying to our gods. Somebody's God's got to be real, and then we're going to know who is the reason for all of this. Here's the reason I'm bringing up verses 9 and 10. They go over, they draw lots, they cast lots, and the lot falls to Jonah. And so they all look at him and they say, Jonah, what's going on here? And he answers, I'm a Hebrew. The question, by the way, in verse 8 is, who are you? Who are you? I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? What have you done? They knew, this is what I want you to circle on your outline, they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them. I can't tell you how many times I've read this story in the Bible, and I never really focused it on that verse, the end of that verse. In many translations, it's just a parenthetical note. That's all it is. Sometimes we, by training, by education, don't even look through parenthetical notes. We just skip right past them. But in that parenthetical note, right there, is something very important for all of us to zero in on. There was a time where Jonah told somebody that he was running from God. I don't know what that interaction was like when Jonah got to the dock. He got to the boat. Everybody's signing up for tickets. He goes up and gets the ticket. He says, hey, I'm here. I need a ticket for this boat. Okay, well, what's your name? My name is Jonah. Okay, well, it's going to be $5. You can go on the boat. Okay, fine. By the way, you know, I'm running away from God. So, okay, well, it's $5 like everybody else. Get on the boat. When did he say to these people, I'm running away from God? And why did they not say something to him? You know why? I have a theory. Because they're too busy with their own lives. And that happens all the time, right? We get really caught up in this hustle and this bustle, this whirlwind. I wake up, I have breakfast, I go to work, I clock in, I punch out, I go home, I have dinner, and I do it all over again the next day. That's the whirlwind of life. That's how we operate. And sometimes we get so caught up in this minute, minuscule, everyday set of tasks that we forget to hear or to listen to what people are saying. Some people in your life right now have been crying out for help. We have to listen to them. People don't want to just come out and say sometimes, listen, I have a problem with drugs. I have a problem with alcohol. I have a problem. I need some help. But they will say things that kind of will tip you off, right? But you have to be listening to them. Help these people. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's somebody very close to you. Parents, listen to your children. They're talking to you, and sometimes they're saying more than you really know. We have to listen for those who are running away from God. When we listen, we get to identify what other people need. That's the answer in the first line there. When we listen to others, we get to identify what their needs are. Last week's lesson was very poignant to this point when we talked about being saved to serve, right? So if we're going to serve the community here, we have to be able to listen to the community in Mission Viejo. We have to actually hear what their needs are. We may have things that we like to do. We have things that we want to do, but what is it that the community needs here? We only will know that by listening. By listening. Second thing I want to look at today is listening with faith. Let's take a look at Acts 14, 8 through 10. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul. As he was speaking, Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up! Stand up on your feet!" At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Now that's some listening. He listened, and he had the faith. I think that this is another thing that I have a problem with, too. Sometimes God, it feels like God is asking me to do some weird things. Sometimes I feel like, you know, God talks to us through His Word every day, but there is some stuff in there that's just not comfortable to do. And God wants you to, He's okay if you tell Him, God, you know what? I know I need to help the widows. I know I need to help the poor. I know I need to help the orphans. God, I don't like orphans, right? God, I don't want to help the poor. I don't want to help widows. God is okay to hear that from you, but He knows that you can do it. You have to listen to God and what He's telling you in faith. You have to believe that this is going to work out, that this is going to happen. There's a couple examples of weird things that people are asked to do in the Bible. One of the ones that's my favorite is the story of Joshua. And the tribe of Israel, there they are. Israel's going throughout the wilderness. They come upon this great land, a huge walled city. God had been taking the Israeli, this Jewish army, this Israeli army, through cities and towns and giving the battle to this huge group, this huge roving group, the Jews, the Israelites. And they get to this one big city, and of course the main thought is, okay, well, here we are. Now God's going to let us brush on through here too. And God says, no, this time we're going to do things a little different. We're going to walk around the city. And we're going to walk around, and on the seventh day, we're going to walk around seven times with the Ark of the Covenant, and we're going to blow horns. Well, then what's going to happen, God? Well, then the walls will fall down. Can you imagine being an Israelite at that time, having seen the power in battle, moving through these cities, believing that God has been giving you all of these things, has been blessing you in battle, but then all of a sudden, He does a 180 and says, we're just going to trot around the city. Can you imagine being the people who are sitting on the wall looking down, making fun of them, the things that they said? But what did the Israelites do? They marched in faith, right? And what happened on the seventh day? The walls came down. We have to listen to what God says. We have to listen in faith. We have to know that it's going to happen. And if you truly believe in your heart, if you know that God is working in your life, you know that no matter what He asks you, you're going to be able to do it by faith. Another example I wanted to look at, and I actually have a slide for this one, is in 2 Kings 1, 22 through 25. This is another one of VBS. I loved the coloring book images for this, and I couldn't find one, but I wanted to show you. It's just a story of Naaman. Now, Naaman was a very wealthy person, a very strong person, a very powerful person. And he had a skin disease. Any kind of skin disease back then, they called it leprosy. And there were no topical creams, there was no Clearasil, there were all these other things we have today where you could clear it up, you can clear it up in a day. This was a big deal. And when you get leprosy, by the way, they cast you out of society. So somebody gets a pimple or something, people start asking questions. What's happening here? All of a sudden, here comes Naaman. And he's got a very large spot of skin disease. He wants to fix it, so what does he do? He sends for Elisha. What he does, he takes all of his people, he goes down and says, Elisha, go tell Elisha I want to be cured, I want to be cleaned. And in verse 10, Elisha sent a servant out to him saying, go to the Jordan, and after washing seven times in its waters, your flesh will be well again, and you will be clean. Okay, I've seen a lot of rivers. I don't know if you've ever seen depictions of what the Jordan River looked like at that time, potentially. It was like a Petri dish. It was just these dirty, oozing puddle of water and goop. If you know anything about rivers at that time, sometimes people would dump waste in them. Sometimes other things would be in them. It was a very nasty place to go. Now, a lot of other rivers are very nice. But the Jordan River is what God, through Elisha, said would heal Naaman. So, what does Naaman do? Naaman was angry and went away and said, I had the idea that he would come out and see to see such an important person as I am and make prayer to the Lord his God and with a wave of his hand over the place make the leper well. It's easy to judge Naaman. I just want us to take a look real quick at what he says. Have you ever said that? I mean, have you ever said, well, I was under the impression that God would just pull me out of this. I was under the impression that God would wave his hand right over my life, and there goes all the debt. There goes all my trouble. There goes the person who has addiction in my life. There goes the person who's cheating on me. There goes the person who's been mean to me, who's abused me. That's not how it works. But God does give us solutions. God does give us answers. And when he gives us answers in his word, we have to say, yes, Lord, in faith, I hear what you're saying. In faith, I believe it is going to happen. And in faith, and I may need some help with this, God, but in faith, I believe that in your own time, this will be fixed. We have to listen in faith. It's really hard to do. But God wants us to test him. God wants us to give him the hard stuff. God wants us to give him the things that we're concerned about. The last thing I want to look at this morning is the third and final point, which really is more of a listening and living what you've learned. So this is more of an action, right? This is putting the second piece to the puzzle. You can listen a lot. In fact, it's good to listen. It's good to be an effective listener. But there's one more step. You have to perform or act on what you now have learned. If you listen and you don't act on what you've heard, what use was listening? If you look at James 1:22 through 25, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Some of you probably look in a mirror a lot, so that's going to be pretty impressive for you to forget what you look like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but here it is, circle this, but by doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You have to listen and do. So we look at these three things, or we look at the first two things, and we say, okay, great, that's right. Okay, I hear you on that one. We'll identify people's needs. Okay, welcome to Sunday. What about Monday? That's why I had an outline printed, too. You could take it home, and you can post it up in your car, or you can post it at your desk at work. But what about Tuesday or Wednesday? Are you still going to be looking for identifying people's needs? Are you still going to be listening to your coworkers, to your children, to your spouses? This has to be a commitment that we make. Are you going to commit to listening in faith? It is easy in the presence of our fellow Christians as we confess in faith, as we listen in faith. But what about when you leave? What about when you go to work this week? Are you committed to listening in faith to God? You have to make it more than just today. You've got to make it more than just tomorrow. Like we were talking about a little bit in the communion thoughts. Jesus is a part of every fiber of our being, right? If our walk with God is not like a cell phone or like a belt or like a wallet, we can't take it off. If that's true, then we have to commit to these things, and we have to act on them. I want to show you a picture. This is my son. This is my only son. That's it. Only got one. My only child. This is it. You all look like a really nice group of people, but I would not take a hair off his head for you. I love him. I've only known him a year and a half. I feel like I have known him my entire life. God had a son, has a son, who was with him from the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word. Who is that? The Word was God, was with God. The Word, his only son, was with him from the beginning of time. He did not have any other sons, any other children. That's just the one. Knew him a little longer than a year and a half, didn't he? And he didn't just say, oh, I'll take a hair off his head. He said, I will send him down and I will let the world kill him. The ultimate meaning of an ultimate sacrifice. I can't imagine doing that with him. But I'm so glad I don't have to. I'm so grateful that I don't have to, that you don't have to. I'm grateful that God did. And I show my graciousness through my commitment to him. That's what you have an opportunity for this week. Commit to God. Listen. Hear. Listen to what others are telling you. Make a commitment to be a better Christian for the Lord, because he sacrificed so much for you, for me. If you'll commit to that, you'll find that good things are going to happen. I like the action part of this outline because it really charges us to do something. And I like that God charges us to do things in the Bible. What does he say? He says, if you are weary, if you're heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. If God says that, believe that in faith. Why are some of you still weary right now? You shouldn't be weary. Give it to him. Another action that God calls us to is to confess, is to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. This is who I am, and I am sorry. I'm sorry. I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to be my life. And then God says, great, more action from you. I want you to go, and I want you to show everyone that you have made this commitment. I want you to get in that water, and I want you to be baptized. I want you to go down with your sin, and I want you to symbolize coming up as a clean person. Not because the water makes you clean, because of what it symbolizes. So, are we listening to that message this morning? Do we listen to that direction? Do we believe that God will make us clean? Do we believe, do we hear in faith, that if we commit our lives to him, that he will carry us the rest of the way? I want you to ask that question. You don't have to come up here if you don't want to. It's a little uncomfortable for some people. We have people who will be in the back for you. We have people who will be up here for you. But think about listening to God this morning. If you have not listened before, if you've just been hearing what he's been saying, I would invite you to listen to his invitation this morning. I'd invite you to listen to the benefits of being a Christian, the eternal benefits that you'll receive. And I'd like to thank you for listening to me this morning. If you have any needs, if there's anything that we can help you with, we'd ask that you come forward now as we stand and sing.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me and live in our hearts, fill this body, stir our spirits, help us serve, walk with our feet to the hurting. Let us be you, revive your church. Let us be you, all.